اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها لها في البلاد وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد فأكثروا فيها الفساد فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب إن ربك لبالمرصاد فأما الإنسان إذا ما ابتلاه ربه فأكرمه ونعمه فيقول ربي أكرمن وأما إذا ما ابتلاه فقدر عليه رزقه فيقول ربي أهانن كلا كلا بل لا تكرمون اليتيم ولا تحاضون على طعام المسكين وتأكلون التراث أكلا لما وتحبون المال حبا جما كلا كلا إذا دكت الأرض دك دكا إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمَ وَجِيءَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى يقول يا ليتني قدمت لحياتي فيومئذ لا يعذب عذابه أحد ولا يوثق وثاقه أحد يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد الفرج. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنام سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Because each of us as a human being has a limited lifetime on earth, and many of us, in fact, I think I can say most of us, don't end up observing some of the realities of this universe, this world, this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I mean by that is what involves and happens to mankind as a result of their own deeds in this system. We don't live usually long enough to see and observe these events taking place. It takes too long. It's more than a lifetime for things that happen to civilizations to be observed. The only way you can know what happens, the only way you can see what the results of people's deeds are, is to look back and study what people went through, what they did, and what happened to them as a result of their own deeds. That's the only way you can do it. To learn from that and then be able to decide and find out what you need to do, what you should avoid. That's pretty obvious. That's what I think, at least some people, I consider it pretty obvious. I think it is pretty obvious for a lot of people. The reason why I doubted that and I second thought that is that unfortunately there are people that deny categorically this whole thing, because once you start denying this system being a creation of God and God being in charge and God having a system in place, it just becomes random. Yeah, something could happen in history. It won't repeat itself. It will repeat itself. All those discussions are there. Once you realize that, and if you study history by itself well enough, you'll come to that. Because of that approach towards history or towards this universe, that it's all haphazard, it's all random, it's all, you know, especially when it comes to people, because when it comes to other things, carbon dating can go back 4 million years because it follows the same pattern according to them. They haven't even observed it. But when it comes to human behavior, that's something that, no, it's just whatever. Because of that approach, when it comes to studying history, as far as I've seen, as far as I've read the various books that we've found and scholars of history, they don't really care about the details of it. It's just, okay, this historian says this, that other historian's opinion about this event was like this, A, B, C, or whatever it is. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't have any impact on your life. It doesn't matter what people before you did or didn't do and what happened to them, because that has everything to do with them and nothing to do with you. The Quran, however, tells us otherwise. God is God. He is the creator. He's created this universe with not only physical laws that apply to chemicals, to the cosmos, to planets and stars and meteorites and comets and whatever else is out there on a macro level and on molecular level or subatomic level, quantum level, all these laws that these scientists are spending time discovering are not the only laws in place. These are laws that God has put in place, but there's also laws regarding the human being and human behavior right in this world. We're not talking about the hereafter. The Quran tells us both those laws, and the Quran tells us and gives us examples to show us this is what happened. You're not going to probably see this, at least the entirety of it. You're not going to see it unfold before your eyes. It's too long for your lifetime. We barely can analyze the 10 years, 20 years, 30 years of our lives to say, okay, this is what I did, then this is what I did, and then as a result of listening to these verses, this is where my life was moving towards. Or when I wasn't listening, this is where my life was moving towards. When I changed that, then I started seeing results. It takes time for those results to start showing. That's in just one person's life. When it comes to a civilization, the life and the death, the initial birth of a civilization, and the death of that civilization, that's not something you're going to experience. You may experience part of it. You may suddenly experience the end of a civilization. You might be one of those that watches something unfold before your eyes. You might have been one of those that saw the Shah go down, for example, in the Islam in Iran, current day Islamic Republic. And for the Islamic Republic to be established, the start of that, you might have seen that. But to analyze what happened, how did it end there? How did that previous thing, whatever it was, end there? What caused its decline? They talk about the Roman Empire because that's the only thing the Westerners can think of. That's the only civilization they have to show. And there's not really too much good in it, of course. But anyway, a civilization. Where was Britain during that time? Nothing. Nowhere. The Roman Empire. Well, there was a rise of the Roman Empire. There was the birth of the empire. Then there was a death of the empire. They talk briefly sometimes about the death of the empire, the downfall, the decline of the empire, but not with the right tools and the right understanding of what happens. Now, why am I saying this? The second chapter we recited is Surah Al-Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us some examples and some laws here, but because our personal, that preface was because of this, because our personal experience doesn't involve seeing these in real life. In the Quran, it's just أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Did you not see what your God or how your God did towards, your Lord did towards Ad? إِرَمْ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. إِرَمْ, the city, ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ. They had these huge pillars that they had created. أَلَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. That hadn't been created up to that point in the cities and the civilizations. That was a huge civilization, architecture that is unimaginable for people around them up to that point, of course. Now you have greater structures. That's why it says لَمْ يُخْلَقْ. At that time it wasn't created before or anything greater than that. And also Thamud, it's just a couple of lines. It says something and it moves on. We read that, we haven't experienced it, it doesn't really click. We got to look at this and try to understand some of the words, the sentences, and realize how great this whole thing is. It's not a simple matter. That's why the Quran says read over and over. Read and ponder, reflect, pause a little bit. See what is being said here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by wal-fajr, by dawn, wa-layalin ash, 10 nights, whatever those 10 nights are, a 10-night period of time. وَالشَّفْعِ وَالْوَاتْرِ, pairs and single things, apparently, as some have mentioned. Shaf means pairs, and watr means single, something that's single, okay, single things. Not odd, because odd would include three, five, and so on. No, single, just one. Of, like, for example, the watr prayer and the night prayer, you have the shafa, it's called, and that's two rak'ah, and then watr is one rak'ah. So just remember that to understand what shafa and watr mean. Now, what does this exactly refer to? What two things, pairs, I called them, and single things? What, just generally, some believe that. Anyhow, he swears by these different things. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ. First by fajr, which is the dawn when light starts coming in, and وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَسْرِ is when it becomes pitch black. So when there is brightness, the crack of dawn, and when it's no light at all. Both of these are mentioned here. And he says, هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. Is this not an oath, I guess, for want of a better word, that's the only word that comes to my mind, the swearing, these things that he swore by, aren't these enough for لِذِي حِجْرٍ, someone that has an intellect, someone who can think? Is this not enough to consider this important? These are, we take a look at وَالْفَجْرِ. Do we understand the greatness, the grandness, how great Fajr is, or just a time of day? What needs to happen in this universe, the sun and the earth and this whole system that causes for dawn to occur? And then what's related to us from every day, every 24 hours, every interval of time, this daily thing, this daily routine, you have pitch black for most of the earth, not the entirety of the earth. You have pitch black moments, and any, now this daily interval for some parts, it's not daily, but it's annual. Any part of the earth, you have a time where it's pitch black, no light, and there's times where there's light. After darkness, there's light. Okay. So isn't this something for someone who possesses intellect, enough for them to think? And then this is to grab your attention and to remind yourself of God being in charge of all of this. And then now it gets to the human being. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. A number of civilizations are mentioned. Ad is mentioned. Thamud is mentioned. The Fir'aun is mentioned. Three civilized, the Egyptian civilization. Ad, Thamud, they're around, all three of them are around Arabia. Egypt, obviously, you know where it is, right? Current day Egypt and current day, well, what we call Saudi Arabia, unfortunately. They have, they may even have water borders. I don't think so, but because the Red Sea is pretty wide, they probably have borders on this side. It's part of the Red Sea is part of considered part of Saudi Arabia. And then on the other side, you have Egypt. But they're pretty close by. Okay, Egypt was something that was nearby. Ad and Thamud, exactly where they are. My understanding is that, or at least what I've read partially, this is not too exact. I don't know exactly. What's clear is that this was something that the Arabs knew of. It was somewhere relatively near them. Some, I remember reading, some have said this was somewhere in Yemen, the Ad. Not on the west side of Yemen, more the east side of Yemen, closer to the Emirates and that area. And Thamud apparently is somewhere in Syria, or at least close around there, Shamat. Those are approximately where they are. Now, Ad and Thamud, we don't hear too much around except for what the Quran says, which is enough for us to learn about this. We'll talk a little bit about that. And then the Pharaoh, the Egyptian civilization, we've heard a lot more about that, and the remains have been constantly shown to us. The remains of Ad and Thamud, we don't see too much. They're there. They're available even up to today. I have seen some pictures, some images, but we don't see too much of that. We hear more of the Egyptian civilization and the pyramids and so on. But this is enough. Three civilizations. God says, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِعَادٍ. Do you not see what God did to these three? First, Ad, and then it talks about what they were capable of. إِرَمَ ذَاتِ الْعِمَادِ الَّتِي لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. This city that the architecture they had been able to develop is to set up these pillars and structures that were very tall. And for the time, it was a wonder. It was an architectural wonder of the world. And it wasn't previously made. This was a great civilization that way, meaning materially, what you see is greatness. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. Okay. They apparently brought these huge stones from the mountain to the valleys and built structures there. Okay. Again, something, I don't know, again, we don't see too many of the images, but some of the things that I've seen, which seem to have been the Thamud civilization, it's magnificent. It's really, really magnificent. Yeah, it's not the skyscrapers that we see from such a great distance right now, but just to see with their ability, for them to be able to take that, I mean, the Egyptian one is something we've all seen, but this one, when you see the size of that, how they were able to, now here it only talks about what they did in the valleys. In some of the other chapters of the Quran, it talks about what they did in the mountains. So they carved things out of the mountain, and then they brought some of those stones into the valley and built structures there as well. Magnificent structures that are just, you'd be at awe thinking, how the heck did they do this? Okay, with the tools that they had available to them those days. But as great as that was, look at what God did to them. Nothing remains but ruins. That's all that remains from them. Ruins. They were ruined. Clearly they were ruined. Fir'aun, Egypt right now is one of the poorest countries in the world with everything that it has. This used to be a huge civilization, the greatest of its time, or one of the greatest of its time. You see these wonders that with all the developments today, the scientists are trying to go, or archaeologists or whatever, they're trying to go and figure out how the heck they put this together, or you know, what does this all mean? What are the symbols? All this stuff that's there that you can tell. So much has happened here. But what remains of it? Ruins only. That civilization does not exist. It's gone. God says, look at what God did to them. And then he says, after mentioning all of them, each of them, and what happened to them, it says, it describes them, الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. These civilizations, this is their quality, this is their characteristic. طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. They rebelled. Who did the Pharaoh, or what did the Egyptian civilization rebel against? They were the authorities of the land. They rebelled against God and God's law. They were rebels. The Pharaoh was the biggest rebel. He said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمْ الْأَعْلَى. The Thamud civilization, the Ad civilization, they were rebels against whom? Against God, not against the authorities of the land. They were the authorities of the land. طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. They violated all of God's laws, first being that they said, we are the authorities of land. Forget God. Who's God? Then every law that God had, break those laws. We don't go by those laws. Prophets came like, who the heck are you? Miracles were shown. Thamud, the camel, you've heard of it, the she camel, from the mountain. I mean, you see before your eyes from a rock. A camel steps out, comes out of that rock. There's no special effects. This is not a movie. This is reality. None of us have observed that. They saw that happen before their eyes. It was clear this is from something that none of them are capable of. It's a supreme being that is doing this. Yet afterwards they came and they slaughtered it against God's... They were rebels against God, as the authorities today. The U.S. government is a rebel against God. The British government is a rebel against God. The Canadian government, these are all rebels against God. The Arabian government, the Saudi family, the rebels against God. That's their description of these three. And then whoever, this is history. This is the reality of what happened. They behaved in this way. They rebelled against Allah. What happened to them? Alam tara kayf. There's nothing that ruins, but ruins from them. They don't exist any longer. The civilization is gone. Who did that to them? God. This is how God has structured this universe. These are laws by which He governs this universe. And then, just to clarify that this law is not something that is simply related to the past. After saying, الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ, these are rebels, فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ, they did a lot of corruption there, فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابِ, God's law, lash, سوط means a whip, okay, a lash of punishment. God dealt with them in that way. He says, "Inna rabbaka labil mirsad." This is Allah. God is in mirsad. One of the terms that I've seen used, I don't know any better term, and I don't think that really hits the spot, but this is the best I've so far seen. Place of ambush. Okay, it's where you hide. You have an enemy, all right? That enemy, you're keeping an eye on them. You're waiting for the right moment. And suddenly you ambush or you attack and you get rid of the enemy. That's called mirsad. Where you're looking out and waiting for that moment to the inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Your Lord is in the mirsad. In other words, it's not just for them. Anyone. If you're going to be tughat, if you're going to be rebelling against God, causing corruption on the earth, God is waiting. He's in the mirsad. He's waiting and observing you at the right time. Split second, you're all gone. Fir'aun, just a few seconds before his eyes, he's seeing he's drowning. It's done. All that authority, power, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. Whatever he said, these armies, these slaves, different people, everyone did whatever he said. They believe he was such a great person. A few seconds, done. It's all over. The end of the Egyptian civilization. This is one point from this chapter that I think is very important. There's a personal lesson from this for each and every one of us as individuals that we can take. That is, look, this is the law of the universe. And every time you forget, look at these ruins and remind yourself. Remember, the Quran tells us many times. In this chapter here, it doesn't say go and look at what happened to people prior to you, people who lived the earth and what they did. And it doesn't say that here in this chapter. Other chapters say that. But here it mentions these examples. Look at these ruins. Remind yourselves of it. Sometimes you may know, God may have mentioned them, sometimes you don't. The Aztec Empire. You see ruins in Mexico of these, whatever empire it was, whatever great civilization at the time, they, being able to put those structures together, there's a lot of work that they did. It was a whole civilization that was able to build something like that. They're gone though. Whatever happened, that civilization died even before the Europeans came. This is God's system, all right? So personally, we look at it, okay, I got to be careful. If I'm going to be rebelling against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Anyone, you think you're so intelligent, you can cheat everybody, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. And nobody else can see, but He is in charge. And if you're doing whatever the hell you want, doesn't mean that God is not in charge and doesn't mean that God is not watching you. If you're going to keep going worse and worse, that's fine. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. This is a point, even if He gives you the full 100 years, which usually we don't. This George Bush Sr., Mal'oon, lived very long. You know, from what I remember of the number of years he got. And he lived, it seemed like a normal person all the way to the end. Well, even that's the apparent side of it. There's a time. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Always remember. Then there's another aspect of this that has to do with civilization. Be careful what civilization you want to be part of. Who you want to align yourself with. You want to align yourself with the pharaohs. You want to be part of the Fir'auni system. You should know when the Fir'auni system goes down, you're going to go down with it. That's just how it works. There were people from Banu Israel that didn't choose to go with Musa. What happened to them? They went down with the Fir'auni system. Musa came and said, "This is the path. Come with me." A lot of them, maybe most of them, joined Musa. Not all of them. Some of them helped the Fir'aun. Qarun was with the Fir'aun. The other worshipper, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right or not, Bal'am. In Farsi they say Bal'am Abu Awra. Unfortunately, because I read these words and I hear them from Farsi and Arabic, you know, that gets mixed up. I can't remember exactly if it has a ayn or it doesn't. Farsi has a different pronunciation. Anyhow, this guy was someone that was seen as a great worshiper, but he joined the Fir'aun. And what happens? He went down. The Quran mentions him specifically, not by name. The Quran says, look at give them the example, the parable of the person that أَتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. We gave him our signs. That's not a small thing. فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا. He removed himself from those signs. Which civilization do you want to be with? Do you want to be with Musa of the time? Or do you want to be with the Fir'auns of the time? You want to suck up to the Fir'auns? So they're in power. Remember, these are Tughat. There are people that think we need to become part of the administration in this country. Join the Congress. Join whatever these parties, these two parties, the Democratic Party, the Republican Party. And it's amazing how they call themselves Shia and Muslim, and they look at you in the face and they say it with a straight face, like, brother, sister, I don't know what you're reading. I think you have a different Quran. I don't know which revelation you're reading. This is what God says here. فَأَكْثَرُ فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. Is there any, these country or these civilizations, Ad and Thamud, their corruption in the earth is nothing compared to the British corruption, compared to the French corruption, compared to the German corruption, compared to the Spanish corruption, compared to the Portuguese corruption, and most of all, compared to the American corruption. In terms of lives taken of innocent people, Korea is one example, Vietnam is another example, Iraq is another example, Cuba is another example, South America generally is a huge example, the Philippines another example, Indonesia, Malaysia their own example, what they've done there. Just life, human life, which is a huge thing. Corrupting people's ideologies. Look at what Hollywood is doing up to today. The whole world is being influenced by this garbage. This is corruption. فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. Family structure is being destroyed. Marriage is no longer even something that has to do with male-female. Or what male-female. Now in Europe, مَحَارِمْ الْعَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Mother, son, doesn't matter, whatever. They're selling this to the world. This is advancement. This is enlightenment. That's how much they're on weed, man. That's what's happening. They're hallucinating here. That's not light, bro. Wake up. That's darkness. It's in your head. That's the problem. These are the realities of the universe. People want to live in their hallucination instead of seeing the reality of the world. Don't you see this corruption? These are the same ones that God is talking about here. And then he says, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. You still want to suck up to these folks? You want to get close to them? You want to get close? You want to be part of this Congress? You want to send representatives in this beast? And then say, oh, we want to influence them based on Islam. You're not going to influence them Islamically. What the heck are you thinking? They kill thousands of Muslims in 1 hour in one day. You want to affect them? You think they have open ears to Islam? You want to make it better for Muslimin here? More Islamic for Muslimin here? Do you understand what you're saying? Or are you on weed too? These are important teachings. The Quran tells us this. The last point I'd like to mention from this chapter, moving on from that, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something personal here. This, of course, as communities, we deal with the same idea as well on a community level. And even on a civilizational level, you know, the whole nation or nations that form a huge civilization, in a sense. But we can definitely relate to this maybe a little more easily, make it more personal as opposed to the first point that was mentioned. The first point was mentioned clearly, it talked about civilizations. Law that's mentioned is general, obviously applies to anyone, any person, any civilization, anyone. الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. But this one, it's a little easier because the examples are such that we can relate to on a more personal level. But again, it applies to communities and beyond as well. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after that part of the chapter, says, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ Human being. إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ When they are tested, bala, the word bala that you're more familiar with, when I read مَبْتَلَاهُ, you don't catch the word bala there. Ma ibtalahu. Ibtala comes from the root that the word bala comes from as well. There's the same thing. Ibtalahu means to put them through bala. Okay. Bala means test. Not calamity. Calamity has the meaning of hardship, difficulty. That isn't the intended meaning here. Bala sometimes can mean that, and sometimes just generally means testing. But the point here is, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ When God tests him and أَكْرَمَهُ honors that person. It's God's test to be honored. What do you mean أَكْرَمَهُ honoring them? It says the following word, وَنَعَمَهُ Gives him a lot of blessings. Money starts coming. All the deals start working. Nice offers for work. Oh, six-figure salaries. And all that stuff starts happening. When God tests him, God tells us the reality of it and then tells us what the human being thinks. فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ That's what God does. إِبْتَلَاهُ He tests him with this. What does a human being do? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا The human being says, oh, God is honoring me. God is so nice to me. Then he say, Alhamdulillah as well, and do some nadhr, or take some money out for charity, take some money to the shrines of the ma'sumeen. God is so kind to me. فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا Then, وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ It's God testing. That was testing, but this guy took it in this way. Then another form of testing came their way. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ The rizq, the sustenance of the person, قَدَرَ It makes it tight. Instead of the abundance, Oh, it's tight. All the folks that were buying the stuff, they're not buying anymore. Business went down. Got fired. This, you try this, it doesn't work now. Result? This is God doing it. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ It's God putting in that. What is the person's understanding of it? فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا God is putting me down. God is belittling me. God is dishonoring me. And then God says in the next verse, كَلَّا No. Both are wrong. You thought God was honoring you when He gave you all that stuff? It was ابتلاء. It was a test. And you say, God is dishonoring me here? No, that's also not the case. This is very important for us to understand. We make big mistakes when we make those two wrong judgments. When we think God is honoring us when all that great stuff is coming, all the material gains, all the blessing, all the abundance, the homes, the cash, this, fame, good name, people loving you, and all of that comes. If we say, I'm being honored here. God is honoring me. He's respecting me. He favors me. Oh, look at everybody else. I don't know. And then we say, I don't know why. I don't think I deserve it, but I do think that it's coming my way. When I think that way, when I think this is because of me and God is honoring me, then I stop looking at what I'm doing and making sure I am honoring God and what He said. Remembering this is all His. And I have to be careful what I do with it. Forget that. Too busy enjoying what's been given. And then when the hardship comes, as a Muslim, these words are فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا إِنْ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. It says, my Lord. So this is a believer. He's not talking about disbelievers. He's talking about believers. He's talking about us. God giving me hardship, money, I say, oh, God is dishonoring me. What happens with that? I don't realize this is a test. There's a number of wrong things I do. One is I start feeling bad about God. Why did God do this to me? If I understand that He's putting me down, He's harming me. Obviously, I'm not going to like it. As much as we say, oh, yeah, I deserve God, please remove it. He doesn't remove it. Like, oh, what's going on here? Yeah, okay, whatever I did, please get me out of here. Get me out of this condition. It doesn't happen. It continues. You're not going to feel good. You won't feel good about God. That you your judgment of His behavior towards you is that, ahanan. That's fundamentally wrong. That judgment of God's behavior towards me is fundamentally wrong. If I'm a believer and this is my Rabb, this is my Lord, He is Rabbul Alameen, He doesn't have any reason, unless I do wrong, and that's the result of what I've done. But قَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقًا, as it says here, it's not because of that. Same way that kuffar, sometimes there's abundance given to kuffar. Well, if you're a rebellious person towards Allah, if your rizq is supposed to be measured less and it's supposed to be tight, then all these kuffar shouldn't have what they have. The Quran says that's not how it works. As a believer, if you go through tough times, don't judge God trying to harm you, hurt you. That's one wrong that comes out of this. Another wrong that comes out of this, and we've seen this in multiple settings. Sometimes I've been through this where others are trying to tell me this point that I'm about to say. What is that? I say, okay, well, I heard the Shaykh say, yeah, well, God doesn't hurt you. He doesn't want to hurt you. But sometimes things happen as a result of your actions. And then we start saying, okay, so something I did is wrong. And then this is where the guesswork starts. Things that there's no basis for them to be wrong Islamically are being pulled out. This guy thinks that you're supposed to be obedient to your parents regardless of what they say. And they think that's what Islam says. Now, something, your rizq is now tight, your finances are tight, they start coming to you like, see, you did this, your parents aren't happy with you, that's the reason. Well, why aren't my parents happy with me? Maybe the reason why my parents are not happy with me is because I did something right. Do you know what the situation is? Am I supposed to automatically think that, okay, this happened, then whatever I did in that context? Well, who said Islam said no matter what they have, you have to listen to your parents? It doesn't say that. Don't make up stuff. Guesswork. Haram becomes halal. Halal becomes haram. Like, oh, it's because of this, because of that. What the heck, man? You don't even know even if the worst thing I did, doesn't mean it's because of that that this happened. The verse is very clear. ابْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَأَمَّا إِذَا ابْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ. The rizq, finances get tight. It's ابْتِلَاء of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether I did right or wrong, that's a whole different thing. If I have done wrong, even while all the finances are coming, all the money is flowing in, I could be doing a lot of wrong. It doesn't mean that's what we're saying, right? You misjudge, like, oh, I must be doing good with God. That's why all this is coming. No, that's not how it works. That's a misjudgment. It causes you to think, oh, I'm doing good. No, you're not. You need to look at what you're doing. If what you're doing is wrong, it is wrong despite you being well financially. And if the situation is tight, generally look back. If what you've done is wrong, istighfar, you do istighfar, situation is not going to change necessarily. And you look back, like, the reason why I've ended up in this condition, on a superficial level at least, is because of the good I've done. Imam al-Hussein ended up in Karbala. They didn't allow him to have water. Can it get any tighter than that? Why did he get in that position? Because he disobeyed Allah? No, it's because he obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His six-month-old baby didn't have water to drink. The mother didn't have milk for the child. The basic needs of a family. Is it because they disobeyed Allah? No. It doesn't work like that. Everything is an ibtila. Whether abundance is what we're experiencing, or it's a tight financial condition we're experiencing, it's an ibtila of Allah. In either condition, look back. Look at what you're doing. Look before you do. And a few items are mentioned. It says, كَلَّا بَلَّا تُكْرِمُونَ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا تَحَظُّونَ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. And she's like, no, it's not about akraman and ahanan. Your problems are these, and you're looking at this material realm, and God reminds of the day of judgment. This whole thing is going to end. كَلَّا إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّا دَكَّا. This earth, the mountains will turn into dust. It will be destroyed and renewed. Another earth. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضُ. These are realities of the future. We can either be of this group of people that when that happens, إِذَا دُكَّتِ الْأَرْضُ دَكَّا دَكَّا, when the earth has been demolished and remade into another type of earth with resurrection and with all. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَتَذَكَّرُ الْإِنسَانُ وَأَنَّا لَهُ الذِّكْرَى. That day the human being remembers, and what a time to remember. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ. They say, I wish I could go back. But فَيَوْمَئِذٍ لَا يُعَذِّبُ عَذَابَهُ أَحَدٍ. No one else is going to be bearing the burdens, the عذاب, the punishment of that person. No one else is going to take it. It's going to be you. There's no escape from it. وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٍ. No one is going to take their punishments, their burdens. That's one group of people. The other group of people, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. Person who saw ibtila of Allah, like the Ahlul Bayt, salamullah alayhim ajma'een. The times that they had abundance. The Holy Prophet, there were times he made a lot of money and he gave it all in the way of Allah before Risala, before he was the messenger of God. After that, you've heard, Khadija had plenty and she gave and gave until there was nothing left. In Mecca, they didn't have anything. Muslimin generally didn't have anything. And they came to Medina. At the end of his life, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi had so much, Fadak was one item he gave to his daughter. Whether it was the days he had nothing or the day that he had that. Fatima al-Zahra, the day she had no food, that Amir al-Mu'mineen saw her face and realized after coming back from a trip, a journey, whatever the Holy Prophet had sent them on, coming back, seeing Fatima al-Zahra, skin and bones, she didn't have. Whether it was that time or the time she owned Fadak, this huge village with all the land around it, God knows how much that was, especially in terms of the value of it at the time. Fatima al-Zahra, salamullahi alayha, is Fatima al-Zahra. Realize this is ibtila of Allah. That's ya ayyatu an-nafsul mutma'inna. In these ups and downs, they don't waver. That's itmi'inan an-nafs. Whether it's abundant, some people screw up when they have plenty, some people screw up when they don't have any. Whether they are put in that condition or in this condition, they do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the blessing of reading the Quran, studying the Quran, reflecting upon the meanings found in the verses and chapters of the Quran, and then being able to implement it as individuals, as communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all of us and help our community in this time we're approaching Muharram. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the means to be able to commemorate and uphold the majalis of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, and to do so inshallah not just superficially with traditions, which are good traditions, good, all these different cultural backgrounds that have developed around the concept of Karbala. These are all generally good cultures that have developed, but that's the face of it. That is the superficial side of it. We ask Allah to help us do that well, but also the meaning, the depth, the message and the direction of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask him to help us be his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins, forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, relieve all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. We ask Allah to relieve all humanity of this pandemic sooner rather than later, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, lastly, to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat.